13th chapter of Zechariah. Read from the 13th chapter, beginning at the first verse. Jesus was a great, a wonderful, great person, just as a human being. He was a great person, a great, lovable, likable person. Aside from the fact that he was deity, he was an admirable person, a lovable person. And we all desire to be like Jesus, to talk like Jesus, to think like Jesus. And God desires that all of us be like Jesus because he is our example. Brother Taylor sings the song, "To Be Like Jesus." The Lord promised a day that would come when we would be like Jesus. God is doing something wonderful. I wish that some of my people were spiritual, more spiritual than what they are, because of the great joy and jubilance that I have in my heart, the great jubilee that I encounter with God. I wish that my folks were more spiritual so that they could enjoy that great, wonderful overflow of godliness and goodliness that comes down from God. It is so wonderful. You know, I appreciate my folks, my fellows in Christ, especially those that helped me. I give honor to all of you, because the Bible said give honor to them. But I give double honor to them that labor in the Lord, because the Bible said give double honor to them that labor in the Lord. And I give double honor to you. But with all of that, I wish that you was more spiritual. I appreciate the brethren that labored here a few days back. They went on the job, worked all night. Not only one night, but two nights. They worked all night, so that they could contribute something to our efforts toward world evangelism. And Brother Denny McLean was principally the instigator of it. And through Denny's efforts and the brethren coordinating with him, Brother Denny turned over $3,000 within a few days toward the work of God, which was tremendous. It was such a tremendous help. And I appreciate it. I really appreciate it from the bottom of my heart, because, like I said the other night, I can count immediately, without even any effort, I can count $100,000 that we got to have. $100,000 without any effort. And I know it'll take more than that, but at least $100,000 without any effort that we've got to have. Whereas the Lord will meet every bit of it. But I want you to pray that God will make you more spiritual. Glad to have Alvin with us tonight. Young fellow I talked with today. Appreciate him being in service with us. This is the second or third time that he's been in service with us. We'd like for you to pray for him. We're glad to have him here with us tonight. The other visitors, we're so glad to have our visitors come in from Tennessee. Brother Marable, Sister Marable's folks. We appreciate so much having them here with us. It means a lot for those people to come and visit with us. Everybody that comes to visit, it means a lot to us, but especially those that have relatives here that's labored with us in the gospel. Appreciate all of you being here, and I hope we can say or do something that might inspire you. And I hope that I can get across to you that the end of the world is upon you. I hope that I can get that, you know, to really be impressed upon you, because it is such a great, great moment. The Lord was speaking to me today while I was in my room. He was talking to me. And I heard him talking today. He was telling me some things. And he wanted me to speak it tonight, so I'm going to speak it. Some of it, not all of it, because I didn't feel to speak all of it. But I felt to speak some of it. And maybe I won't ever speak all of it. It just depends. But some of the things he tells me I do speak, some of the things I don't. But I heard him say today, He said, "I have called Urias Cantrell to the ministry. I want him to preach the gospel." I was in my room and I heard him. And When he spoke and said his hand was upon Brother Urias, he made it very clear there was no misunderstanding about it. Paul said, the Spirit speaketh expressly. And I heard him say quite a number of things concerning Brother Urias. I may never tell him, I may never speak it to him, but this I heard him say, and I understood that I was supposed to speak it publicly tonight. For what reason? I don't know. Ordinarily, I would tell Brother Urias this privately, but I understood that I was to speak it exactly like it said it and to the best of my ability. That was the way that it said it. So, the Lord is watching you and your life, and He's watching the things that you do and the things that you say. Brothers, sisters, it doesn't matter how you feel. God feels one way, and it has to be that way. And I heard him say, this very day, Urias Cantrell has been reasoning with me about being fully in my will and walking in my will to the fullness of my desire in his life. Now, Brother Cantrell knows whether it's true or whether it isn't true. Only he knows that. But I know what the Lord spoke to me. And I feel this way, that God watching you, that you've got a time element involved in your life. And as the Lord spoke to me about Brother Urias, he made it plain that until today, that there was a block, that was a valley of decision, but that something had happened in Brother Urias' heart today that even Brother Urias is not fully aware of, that God is fully aware of, that took place even this day. In a decisive moment, that I understand what it is, God understands what it is, and I trust that Brother Urias understands what it is, but this very day, the Lord spoke concerning him. The Lord every now and then will speak to me concerning you and concerning your life. And I don't say anything about it like I do, maybe like I'm doing tonight to Brother Urias. And he'll tell me some things that are good about you and things that he wants me to see and to understand, things that will help you and strengthen you in your ministry and your calling. But some of you don't heed it, and you don't incorporate what I say in your life. And then he'll tell me some things that's in your life, that's not good, that's in your life, that he's displeased with, and he wants it out of your life, but you still won't heed when I tell you those things. And it's going to bring you heartaches and sorrows. See, you've got to remember that even though I am a minister, though Brother Urias is a minister, though there's other ministers here, though you might be an outstanding person in the plan of God, you might be a real, genuine Christian, yet, brother, sister, all of us, we have to pay for every mistake, every wrong, every transgression. The Bible said, seeing that the angels who are greater in power and might, if they themselves could not get by with their wrong, but had to give an account to God for every transgression, so then tonight, it would behoove you and I to remember that God has His eyes on us. And like our brother Stan tonight, he sang that song, Jesus Loves Me. Jesus loves me. When I am sad, Jesus loves me. Whether I'm sad or whether I'm happy, Jesus still loves me. And God loves you tonight, and God wants to speak to you tonight, and God would speak to you. More and more God would speak to you. But Brother Pike is too common among you, and there's too much unbelief. And I'm not going to do like some of the ministers. I'm not going to play a guessing game with you and fish around to try to come up with something that might excite you. If I can tell you what the Lord tells me under the inspiration of God and direct your lives, I'll do it. Otherwise, I'll keep it to myself. Me and the Lord will know about it. If you know about it, He'll have to tell you about it. And we'll go on down the road together, loving one another. But I can tell you this one thing. My brother, sister, he has told me many things about many of you that I would desire to have told you. But I could not. There was no way. If I'd have told you, you would have become vainly puffed up. I could not have handled you. I could not have hoped you. I tried telling a few of them some of the things that God had told me. It only caused them to be vainly puffed up and want to lord over the others and feel that they were above the others, and only gave me trouble and led them to problems. So I quit. I did not tell them. I just started trying to move just as the Lord would tell me to move. Many preachers coming through, laying hands on people, prophesying and telling them things has caused a lot of problem when they didn't mean to. Chapter 13, the book of Zechariah, the first verse. In that day, there shall be a fountain open in the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. And it shall come to pass that when any shall yet prophesy, then his father and his mother that begat him shall say unto him, Thou shalt not live, for thou speakest lies in the name of the Lord. And his father and his mother that begat him shall thrust him through when he prophesied. And it shall come to pass in that day that the prophet shall be ashamed, every one of his vision, when he hath prophesied, neither shall they wear a rough garment to deceive. But he shall say, I am no prophet, I am a husbandman, for man taught me to keep cattle from my youth. And one shall say unto him, What are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. And I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die. But the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, It is my people, and they shall say, The Lord is my God. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth in captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof, toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley. And half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountain, for the valley of the mountain shall reach unto Azel. Yea, ye shall flee, like as ye fled from before the earthquakes in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. All the land shall be turned as a plain from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem. And it shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place, from Benjamin's gate unto the place of the first gate, unto the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananel unto the king's wine press. And men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them, and they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. And Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance. And so shall be the plague of the horse, of the mule, of the camel, and of the ass, and of all the beasts that shall be in these tents as this plague. And it shall come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations which come against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, that have no rain, there shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. In that day shall there be upon the bales of the horses holiness unto the Lord, and the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and see therein. And in that day there shall be no more the Canaanites in the house of the Lord of hosts. The Lord spoke to me many years ago and told me that in the end time that he would do this. And he told me that there would be holiness unto the Lord, and that at the end time he would bring forth the message, the revelation of Jesus Christ. But the theme of that message would be holiness unto the Lord. I know that a lot of people have misunderstood, but I tell you again that if you read in the book of Revelation, you'll find it begins with this statement, the revelation of Jesus Christ. If you'll read here in the book of Zechariah, the latter part, you will also find that God said in that day that even the horse's bridle shall have holiness unto the Lord. Now, I want you to stop and consider for just a moment. Think how absurd it is for people of this day, especially denominational powers, to try to evade the spirit of holiness. Can you imagine how foolish it is for people, whether it be the Baptists, whether it be the Methodists, whether it be the Nazarenes, whether it be the Church of God, the UPC, or the Catholic Church, whatever it might be, look how foolish it is for them to evade holiness. Why is it that they do not want to talk about holiness? Why is it that they had rather be called the Baptist Church than the Holiness Church? Or the UPC rather than holiness? Why is it that they had rather be called the Methodist Church or the Catholic Church or any other name rather than be called holiness? When God Himself made the statement that when Jesus reigns as the great God of heaven, that even the horses' bridles, even the pots and pans, will have holiness unto the Lord, won't it be out of place? Won't it be out of place for the Methodist to be there? Won't it be out of place for the Baptist to be there, or the Pentecostals to be there, or anybody else that wants to evade holiness? Won't it be out of proportion for the Catholic Church to be there when they don't believe in holiness? Oh, brother, sister, let me tell you something. You that don't believe in holiness, you don't have any part nor lot in the matters of God. For the Bible tells us that God is the Spirit of holiness. He is the only Spirit of life. And you that don't believe in holiness and don't love holiness, you that don't lift up holiness to the world, you that don't want to dress as becometh holiness, you that don't want to do the things that lift up and magnify holiness, don't you understand that you have no part in what God is doing? How out of place you will be out there in that world. The church world of today, they can evade holiness. They can do what they want to. They can get by because it'll work all right in this world. This world will accept it. But oh, my brother, sister, God won't accept it. God won't accept it. Your religion may do to live by, but your religion won't do to die by. You may have a good program. You might be on TV. You might be on the radio. You might be in the printed page. You might have the front page of the paper. You might have the preeminence of speakers. But I want you to know one thing, though you have the great multitudes following you, if you don't have the spirit of holiness, and if you don't have holiness in your dressing and in your makeup and your talk and your plans and in your purpose, you're altogether vanity and vain in the sight of God. God has one program. That is the program of holiness. He's never had but one program from the foundation of the world. His program today is the same as it was at the beginning. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. God the same from the beginning throughout the act of creation on until the coming of the great, wonderful Ancient of Days. What's wrong with the world today? They've left off with holiness. What's wrong with the church world today? They've left off with holiness. You know what happened? When holiness began to come abroad, when the great wonderful move of God began to come, the people was a little bunch of babes. Holiness people that grabbed onto it and latched onto it, even their ministers. Some of them were just babes and they didn't understand. And like a child with a new toy, they begin to shout and they begin to dance and they begin to sing. And they begin to clap their hands and the world begin to mock them and say, you bunch of holy rollers. Called them a bunch of holy rollers. And because of that, people begin to shy away from it. And the devil branded it. And folks begin to shy away from it. And called the great reproach upon holiness and upon the move of God. And God let the mud come upon the water to keep it out of the reach of the great dignitaries of today. God let the water be muddy on the surface, as it was in the days when Naaman did not want to go down to the muddy river Jordan. The life was in the water. All the prophet did was say, dip in the water. But he did not want to go down into that water. He said, all of the rivers of Damascus are clean waters. There is no reproach to those churches over the hill. Why, the president has respect to it. The dignitaries have respect to it. But you bunch of holy rollers, I can't go down to those waters. You know, the Bible likened people to waters. There's too much mud thrown at you. You're too muddy in the eyes of the public. I can't have my business and my prestige. I can't be a great scholar, celebrity in the eyes of the people, and still have my affiliation with you. And so they withdrew and they drawed back. And God allowed it to be so, my brother, my sister, to hide it. Oh, how beautiful is our Father which is in heaven. How great is His majesty. How wonderful is His integrity, His wisdom and His knowledge unsurpassed. As He hid it from the money powers of the world, the great intellectuals, allowing the mud to be upon it. And there we see God in His greatness as all of the world rejects it. God in the water. Finally, Naaman said, I suppose this is the only way. The little servant said, listen, use a little wisdom. Use a little understanding. I know them waters are muddy, but look at the stink of your rottenness. You got leprosy. Isn't muddy water better than the stink of your wounds? And oh, that man that thought he was so brilliant, he began to bow down. He began to lose the stiffness and the starch. And he went down there. You know, all you got to do is come over the hill and affiliate with God. Get into the stream of Christ. And as it has been said, you'll find that which they rejected to be the cream of the crop. It was finally when Naaman got down into those waters that his skin became as a little babe. And the servant said, oh my master, what if the prophet of God had us that do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much easier is it just to go down to these waters and wash? And behold, and he stepped into the waters. He dipped the 7 times and he came up. His flesh was like a little baby. My brother, as the church goes through those church ages, though sin has been a plague and though it's followed them all the way down, yet the Bible tells us at the end of the way, that same Christ, that same Jesus that came down to the river Jordan, knowing that the virtuous was not in the waters of Damascus but in the rivers of Jordan, knowing that that virtue was there, he came. John said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the leprosy, that taketh away the sins of the world. Oh, my brother, John said, I have need to be baptized of thee. My brother, sister, today we have need to be baptized of him, for the Bible said his fan is within his hand and he shall thoroughly purge his floor. Hallelujah. Gather the wheat into the garners and burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. I say today that as this great Christ that went down to the river Jordan was shown there in the virtue or in the water, it is still the same today. It is Christ within you, the hope of glory. It is the virtue within these waters. For Jesus said, I perceive that virtue has gone out of my body. and the little woman was healed. It is this river today, for the Bible said, a fountain shall be open in the house of David. Brother Uriah sang that song, a stream is flowing, the river of God. Out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And the Bible said we shall draw water out of the wells of salvation with joy. This water, oh, come to this water, come to this fountain. Let whosoever will come, whether you have money or not, come to this fountain. There is the fountain open in the house of David. This great spirit, this great power, my brother, it is the spirit of cleanliness. It is the virtues of God. It is the power of healing. It is the power of deliverance. It is the spirit of holiness. The world is withdrawn from it. They have been afraid. They've gone their own way. They've done their own thing, and God has allowed the mud to be there. Isn't that right? Why? That Satan might wear out the saints. That the world system might continue. But that they that are celebrities might not know what we had over here. Heavenly treasure in earthen vessels. Over here with this great, wonderful treasure that we have. That it might be hid from those out there. Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, Father, that thou hast hid these things from the eyes of the wise and of the prudent. Made it revelation or revealed it unto babes such as would learn. Here we are. What is it in the end time? The day that was neither light nor dark. The day wherein you could not tell where the light was. Everything was religious. A little light over here and a little darkness over there. My brother, the light at Pentecost, and then the dark age, the change of the dark age over to the light of the evening time. And from the evening until the morning, and it was the first day. And the breaking of this morning coming over. The dividing of the Western powers and the Eastern powers. As the great, wonderful Son of God set his feet upon the Mount of Olives. And there it is, divided to the south, as the Bible said it would be, dividing those things, the east and the west, the north and the south, the great wonderful thing of God, a changeover, everything looking religious, nothing definite, nothing really spiritual, nothing really carrying holiness, just a religious fuddled up thing that's neither sin, no righteousness, day nor night, just an intermingling. But behold, it shall come to pass at evening time, there shall be light. For God, the great day spring from on high, shall visit his people, and great light is spring up to them that sit in the regions in the shadow of death. The evening time light. We see that the light is beginning to break. God let the mud be on the waters to hide it. The people were babes. And they sing and they clapped their hands and they danced as any babe would do. When a little one is born into the world and it lays in the bassinet. And it kicks its little feet and it goos and it plays around with its little hand and it gnaws on its little pacifier. You know the babe, Christ with your life, the hope of glory. That little babe, see, they didn't understand it. Why? Because they said, well, he didn't come riding a horse. Our king is a great, wonderful king. He'll be on a white horse. He'll be a great businessman. Well, have a lot of money, have great education. He'll be a dignitary. But he didn't come that way. He just come a little babe kicking his feet up in the manger, as we would say. And here he come in the world, said, don't get near that bunch of holy rollers. Don't get near that. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Don't you know that wouldn't have been born to cross the tracks if that had been God? Why, that can't be a revival from God. But they kept on a shouting and a dancing and having a good time. And God just let it go on to protect the babe. Isn't that right? All the time it was the same. But now the days is past and the babe has grown. And the Bible said Jesus grew in favor with man and with God. And he waxed strong in the spirit. And he grew in the spirit. And he grew in stature. This Jesus has continued to grow, my brother. He's continued to grow. And all of a sudden, this Christ that they didn't think could ever be anything, they found him in politics. They found him over in the college. They found him up in the medical profession. They found him in the dentistry. They're finding him everywhere. They're finding him in the business world. This Christ that they thought was nobody, he's beginning to pop up everywhere. And great leaders in the power and political things of today are beginning to shake and begin to tremble, because he said, I not only shake the earth as in the days of Moses, but I will bring it to pass, saith the Lord, that in that day I shall shake heaven, which means the political world must be shaken. The powers of the political world must be shaken. The great dignitaries, the great stars, the reflectors of this world, they must be shaken. Men are moving into power. Men are moving into authority. Why? This Christ child is no more the mock of the earth. That bonds child that mocked the free child in the days of Abraham. This child is beginning to come out now. His wisdom far surpasses that's been bred in college. He's so far ahead of those that's been hatched out of seminary that there's no comparison. He's got the wisdom, the understanding of God to know how to engineer, manipulate, to run the world when the others stumble and stagger and they can't handle the things that they've got. The Bible said the Spirit of the Lord shall be upon him and shall make him of a quick understanding. And so then this child has grown. The mud is beginning to get away. And now the world out there is beginning to say, oh my God, we've made a drastic mistake. All of that across the tracks, that shouting and jumping. We better go over there and start shouting and jumping. So the charismatic order comes up and all of the celebrities and everybody else begins to holler and jump and try to speak in tongues. But my brother, that's perversion. They're going back into their own willful way, their own willful act of the things of the world. But this baby's done grown up. When I was a child, I spake as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. This child has grown. The baby's matured in the knowledge of God. And he's moved on to the fullness of the stature. And the Bible said the saints shall rise and take the kingdom and possess it forever and forever. I said the other night, and the voice of God shall ring out, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall rule and reign forever and ever. And so then this Christ child has grown. He's bigger now. He's greater now. He's moving in now. He's claiming his inheritance now. The squatters are having to back off of the land. They're having to show proof of their ownership. They're running the abstracts. They're checking it out. It's going back to the originality, and the original owners, they're beginning to find out that the child is the original owner. They're finding out that this world is not given to them. It's the seed of Abraham. Hallelujah. And in Christ, Isaac, shall thy seed be called. So then it's going back to the Christ child and the proper inheritance. And here we find ourselves becoming the inheritance. For all things are yours, whether life, whether death, whether things present, whether things to come, whether things in the past. Ye are Christ, and Christ is yours. You belong to God. God belongs to you. All of it's yours. It's ours. God made you. God gave it to you. You're the apple of his eye, and that little child has grown. And the mud is beginning to leave now. The little chick is beginning to peck his way out of the shell now. Oh, how lovely, how beautiful. All of the world is beginning to run after it. It's more beautiful today than the football games. It's more beautiful today than the celebrities and the famous singers. It's more beautiful today, more enticing than the great movie stars and the great dignitaries of the earth, the great kings. It's more beautiful than the presidents. All of the great men of the earth, don't compare with it. All of the beauties of the earth. As I said the other night, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? And it answered back, Snow White. God said, I'll make you whiter than the snow. I've washed you in my blood. Hallelujah. And as the song says, I love thee. I love thee. I love thee. Hallelujah. Jesus loves me. What is it? And it said there's a fountain open in the house of David. And in that day there shall be a fountain open in the house of David. And there shall be in that day the Lord himself ruling and reigning. And there shall be in that day holiness unto the Lord on the pots and pans and on the horse's bridle. And oh, the bunch of holy rollers as they called them. Today they're not the bunch of holy rollers that's scorned at. They're not the bunch of holy rollers that's ignorant and don't understand. They're the great masters of every situation. They're proving themselves to be greater in power and might and intelligence and brilliance and the powers of ingenuity. They're proving themselves to be more powerful in anything that the world can do. They can do it better. And they're rising up in sons and daughters of God. And they're possessing the kingdoms. And we're coming to the hour when the kingdoms of this world is fast becoming the kingdoms of God. So then, that's why that at little Bethlehem, you find one sheet of paper passing from one office to another, carrying out the commission of God, saying whatever's needful in the transition of the operation of soul winning, and the heading saying, holiness unto the Lord. You walk through Germany. As you walk there, your heels clicking together, the hand goes up, Heil Hitler! Oh, my brother, but when you walk through Bethlehem, walk among the kingdom of God, and you see Christ and his followers, holiness unto the Lord! Glory to God. And our song, our theme, as Brother Taylor says, holiness unto the Lord. Long live the King, Jesus Christ, the great eternal one. For we ourselves believe that we are the ones that will possess the earth. Now I say this again over and over. Not the racial conflict. Not fighting with one another. For there is no nationality. There is no race. There is no doctrinal creed that's going to have preeminence. The government is upon the shoulders of the sons of God. It is Christ, God's people, shall take the earth, for the saints of God shall rise and possess the kingdom and possess it forever and forever and forever. You love Jesus? Hallelujah. So then there's a fountain open in the house of David, and the Lord is extending an open hand to you. If you want to come, you can come. You can be cleansed. And that evil, dreadful, sinful thing of death that the Old Testament refers to as leprosy will be taken away. There will be no more spots and no more blemishes, no more death. For the virtues of those waters will bring you divine healing because the Son of God himself visited those waters. You love Jesus? I want you to stand with me. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? A lot of times we sing this little chorus. I love him. A lot of times, you know, we ask ourselves the question, do we really love Jesus? You know, you need to understand, beloved friend, what you want to be numbered with. Sometimes I say, you hypocrite. But you know, Jesus, he would be talking and we get disturbed. He would see him come to him. He said, thou hypocrite. You know, don't be a hypocrite. Don't have the Lord to call you a hypocrite. But let's love Jesus. Let's love Jesus. If you are a sinner, if you are out in the world, he died that you might come to Christ. If you are a born-again believer, you have the benefit of his shed blood. You are the great, wonderful, eternal, everlasting sons and daughters of the King of Heaven. But if you're neither in the world, hot nor cold, he said, I'll spew you out of my mouth, thou hypocrite. So let's not be that way, to stand at the door, to be religious, not going on with God and hindering those others that come. Let's go on with God. Let's not be deceitful, Because if we kill with the sword, we'll be killed with the sword. Did you know that the Bible speaks of your tongue as being a sword? He that killeth with the sword, and they whet their tongue like a sword. The Bible said out of his mouth went a two-edged sword. He calls his word the sword. You kill with your words, I'll kill you with my words. Therefore, he that killeth with the sword shall die by the sword. So let's not do that. Let's use constructive words of strength, building up and helping. Words of life that we may receive honor, blessing, and glory. They that continue in such shall receive of God immortality and everlasting life. Let's sing this song. I love him. I love him because he first loved me and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Can you sing it again now? I love him. I love him. Because he first loved me and he purchased my salvation on Calvary. Can you sing one more time? I love him. I love him. Can you come down to the altar a minute tonight? Because he first loved me and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Can you lift your hands up and love Jesus? Can you do it? How many of you know that Jesus loves you tonight? Oh, hallelujah, I feel the Holy Ghost. Oh, ramandoriandoraba shirabariandorama sirabariandoraba sandoramosaya. Yelamandoliandalamo shirabariandoraba sirabariandoraba saya. Holy andalama sandalamalasai. I feel God, hallelujah. Don't you feel Jesus? Hallelujah. I love him because he first loved me. I love Jesus because he first loved me. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Even you, Jesus loves you. Brother, sister, the day is at a close. The night is far spent. Oh, don't you hear him? Keep your heart tender. Keep your heart tender. Oh, ramandorama shidabariandorabo sandoramanaya. I can hear him. I can hear him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here be under the alabo shire. Yea, saith the Lord, I have waited patiently for the fruit of the earth. Yea, have I waited patiently. For many years I have waited upon the fruit of the vine. Yea, and now the fruit is beginning to ripen. Yea, and the Lord of the vineyard is beginning to desire his vineyard. Yea, and the Lord hath beheld thee. Yea, and thou art ripened as a ripened vineyard. Yea, and it is time to thrust in the sickle. Yea, and reap the vintage and the harvest of the earth, for the harvest is ripe. Yea, and the time hath come, saith the Lord, the eye of a Savior shall visit thee. Yea, I and not another, I shall visit thee. Yea, and I myself shall come. Come and see if altogether it is such as I have heard the report. I, the Lord, shall come. Yea, I, the Lord, shall come, and I shall not tarry. For I, the Lord, have looked upon thee. Yea, and I, the Lord, have beheld thee. Yea, and thou art the apple of mine eye. Yea, and my heart doth yearn for thee. Even as in the time of harvest when Samson's bowels did yearn for his bride, so doth my heart yearn for thee. Yea, I, the Lord, shall return for thee. Yea, and I trust that thou hast not been given to another. For I, the Lord, in that hour shall be as it was even in the time of Samson. For my vengeance, saith the Lord, and my wrath shall be piercing. My judgment shall be just, for I shall burn their fields with unquenchable fire. Be not given to another, yea, be not given to another. For oh, there shall be a grand and a glorious hour. Make thyself ready, O children of God. Be ready, for in the hour that ye think not, the bridegroom cometh. As the snare shall it come upon all of them that dwell on the earth. But ye are not children of darkness, but thou art in the day of light. I have told thee, yea, I have spoken to thee, yea, I have told thee. Therefore thou art without excuse. Yea, behold, for my hour and my coming by day is at hand, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah? I feel him, don't you? Oh, I feel him, don't you? Glory to God. Have you made preparations? Have you made preparations? Are you ready? Have you made preparations? Hallelujah. Fountain is open in the house of David. Hallelujah. A fountain is open in the house of David. The Lord is calling. Hallelujah. 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 The voice of the turtle is heard in the land. Oh, the voice of the turtle is cooing to his mate. The Holy Ghost is speaking to his mate. Hallelujah. That lovely spirit, that dove of heaven, that spirit of Christ, that tender one is calling to those dove spirits that's out there in human breast today. Those dove spirits that's enclosed within human enclosures and human frames today. Oh, he's calling. The deep calling under the deep at the water spout of God. For out of your undermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Can you answer? Can you answer when he calls? Can you answer when he calls? Oh, Ramanda Ramana Rabashida Barara Masai. Can you answer when he calls? Iandala Mula Shandara Masai. Iandali Andala Malo Shida Bariandra Bosandra Masai. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Can you worship him? Can you love him? Can you love him? Just lift your hands up and love him, children of God. I want you to love him tonight. I feel him calling to you. I want you to love him tonight. I want you to love him tonight.